And welcome to our AA meeting for Planet FM 104.6. My name is Ben, I'm an alcoholic, and I will be chairing our meeting this morning. Would you all like to help me open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Thank you for joining us this morning. Today we have three fantastic speakers and they all come from Waiuku Wednesday night meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. So they've made the trek from rural South Auckland this morning into the Planet FM studios for our AA meeting. So thank you all very much for your service, Dougie, Claire and Paul. And in saying that, I would like to invite Dougie to open the meeting.
Good morning, everybody listening in. My name's Dougie. I'm an alcoholic. It's a delight to be able to share on behalf of AA some of my history as a drinking person and indeed where I am now and how AA has taken me from some challenging times into what I can only describe as a really wonderful life situation. As you may have already spotted from my accent, I'm not a real Kiwi. Well, I've been in New Zealand 27 years, but I, you know, in growing up in Scotland, I got introduced to drink at quite an early age. Interestingly, not through my family. My parents were principally teetotal, very church-going people, but through school and friends and all that stuff, you know, drink was always around. It was seen as a kind of heroic and fun thing to do, and like many of my contemporaries, I joined in the fun. However, unlike many of my contemporaries, I seem to have a greater appetite and enthusiasm towards it than many others. And I can look back at those early school days and particularly student days and recognise that I was an alcoholic from the offset. I liked alcohol. It did something special for me. It made me feel confident. It made me feel as though I could fit in. And I seemed to be the ringleader in that part of my social life where I wasn't necessarily a natural leader. But when it came to alcohol, I was always the one encouraging everybody else to join in. And that really became the pattern for the rest of my life until I got into such a dreadful condition that I only had one choice, which was to stop drinking. I drank for nearly 40 years, some of it good, some of it bad, but the reality was drink was always a permanent feature in my life. It became a way of living, it became a crutch for everything I tried to do and chose to do. Maybe many of you can relate to that same situation. What I can tell you now, after many years of sobriety, is everything that I tried to do and thought alcohol was helping me achieve, I now do without alcohol. It sometimes astounds me why I spent so long using alcohol and drinking so enthusiastically when I discovered very quickly after joining AA and doing some rehab, I discovered that I didn't actually need it. And my life in the last many years has been everything I had ever hoped I might achieve or do or enjoy my life. But now without the need for alcohol to fuel that existence. And I can say hand on heart that that is entirely down to following the suggested steps in the AA 12-step program. The fellowship itself is a wonderful community of people who are, you know, wise enough, who've been there, seen it, done it, and help each other to achieve and maintain their sobriety by following what at first might have seemed like some fairly tough action points, but at the end of the day, it's just about living smart, dealing with life on life's terms. And one of the things I've come to accept is no matter how much I may have drunk in the past to avoid reality, it didn't change reality. Reality was still there the next day. My problems never went away thanks to getting off my chops. It just meant I forgot about it temporarily. Now, reality, yeah, sometimes it's still a bit tricky, sometimes it sucks. But rather than hiding from it, I now find I have the capacity and willingness to deal with it. And most problems, I've discovered, once you've dealt with them, they turn out not to be the monsters and dragons that used to intimidate me. And yeah, life without alcohol, much to my surprise, is even better than I could ever have imagined. I've heard many friends and contemporaries in AA who've had a similar experience of thinking that sobriety was going to be a life of tedium and boredom and no more parties, no more celebrations, and no more, as I certainly tried to be, trying to be the life and soul of the party. That's not the case in my experience. I still can be, if I choose to be, the life and soul of the party. The big difference is I kind of know now where to draw the line and not go from being life and soul of the party to a complete raving lunatic acting inappropriately and getting into trouble with friends, family, and indeed with the law, as was part of my transition into sobriety, was several drink driving offences, giving me a wake-up call as to how out of control my life had become, whereby drinking and driving was just normal. I didn't have the wherewithal to self-assess that that was dumb, stupid, and risking my life and other people's lives, irrespective of the illegality of it. So I was fortunate to get that intervention from the justice system to bring me to my senses. And, yeah, for the last many years, those things that I should have worried about in the past in terms of getting into trouble don't even cross my mind, because I don't do some of the dumb and inappropriate stuff that I used to do. So I am delighted to be sober. I'm thankful to be part of AA, which I'm still a very active member in, helping others, which inevitably helps me. And I'm quite happy to sit here and share my story with anyone who's willing to listen to it, and say, if your history is anything like mine, if you find your current circumstances dealing with alcohol is a problem for you, if you think you might have a problem, get along to your local AA meeting and find out how AA can help you. It's certainly done wonders for me. So with that, I'll say thanks and hand you back to Ben.
Thank you very much, Dougie. I related to all of your share. And, you know, I myself thought that if I was going to be able to get sober, I was going to be sentenced to this life of sobriety, and it was going to be you know, boring and shit. And, you know, thanks to the Fellowship of AA, you know, the exact opposite has turned out to be true. You know, I have a life that's happy, joyous and free today, and I'm incredibly grateful for that. Now I would like to invite Claire to share. Welcome along, Claire.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you to Planet FM for this opportunity and to the gentlemen here with me today. You've all been a part of my journey and I'm excited, I'm nervous, but I'm super, super grateful. Growing up, alcohol was a daily thing. You know, I don't recall it being a bad experience or causing arguments or problems. You know, I was more sociable, a little bit of harmless mischief, lots of laughter. But then there was another aspect of my childhood which was quite dark and that I kept secret, that affected me for many, many years. And I learnt to run and hide from a very young age. Sorry, feeling a little bit upset going back to those days. I came to New Zealand when I was about 8, so that was another major change. Had to have all new friends, new school, new environment, new culture. But I was still, I felt alone and lonely and just like I never quite fitted in. And I was really quite shy and awkward. But I got on well with other people mostly, but I think I stuck to myself. I did okay in school and I had hobbies, like I really enjoyed dancing and music. So a pretty normal childhood. I was always allowed to drink at home in small quantities, even very, very young. But as I got older, I drank more. I did drink through school. It was my way of coping. I drink on most weekends. And I remember when I was about 12 or 13, was the first time I was incredibly ill for days and days. And I promised myself I would never, ever drink again. And, that love-hate relationship with alcohol continued for years and years. I swore it off and it wasn't long before I'd start drinking again. Looking back, you know, I can see where the pattern started with me. Life would continue on. I'd be okay. I'd hit a hurdle. I'd run and hide in alcohol. And then make changes because it was always, if I lived in a different area, if I had a better job, if my boyfriend wasn't so mean, that life would be good. So I just felt like I was forever swapping and changing my life around, thinking that that was the solution. And alcohol followed me everywhere I went. It got me in a lot of trouble. The amount of times I'd wake up just so embarrassed, and swear it off that I'd never ever touch it again, and then something would come along and it would be what I'd rely on. It was my niche. It didn't, in my mind, you know, I know I could see it caused problems then, but it wasn't really until my late 20s that it was something that I was using on a daily basis just to get by. I had major anxiety and I justified alcohol, drinking it at times where I really, really shouldn't have been, as a way of coping. It was my way of coping. It's how am I going to get out in the world today unless I don't, unless I actually have a drink. And then all of a sudden it was in every aspect of my life. I was drinking before going to work. I was sometimes drinking on my breaks. I couldn't wait to finish work so that I could go and hide inside at my home, shut the doors and the windows and just drink on my own. Then I got in trouble with the law. I'd lost my license. I was up in front of a judge. My physical health was hugely affected. My doctor was telling me that, my liver function was getting worse. I had to stop drinking. my family was saying, why don't you just stop? And I could recognise it. You know, I didn't like my behaviours, but I just felt like it was the only way that I could actually get through life. If I didn't have that, then I just don't know what I'd do. I thought I'd go insane and I'd have to be locked up. So I wasn't even considering to seek help and to stop drinking. AA was suggested to me a long time ago. And in my mind, AA meant a bunch of people just sitting around talking about their problems. And I wanted to sweep it all under the carpet. I wanted to keep it in the dark. I didn't want it to be out there in the world. You know, from an outsider looking in, it may have seemed like my life was fine, and that's what I'd tell people, where in reality it was far from fine. Anyway, my higher power intervened, and I'd already had multiple detoxes, but I kept drinking. I'd been in comas, but I kept drinking, and I woke up after being medevaced into Waikato Hospital. And there was a man there who took me out of society and said, I'm not letting you go back out there. You will die. So he organised for me to go into a treatment centre, an anonymous treatment centre, where I spent quite a substantial time. That gave me a really great foundation, but it was based on the 12 steps. And from there, you know, what got me back into society was continuing to do the fellowship. I wasn't interested so much in the step work and things like that in the beginning. It was the connection I had with other people. It was hearing their story, which was my story, not feeling alone in my struggles, and seeing them do so well, and happy and relaxed, and all these great things happening in their lives. That's what I wanted. And it wasn't till I'd been in the fellowship probably for about a year. I found an amazing sponsor that I connected with, and I actually started looking at the step work. And that's where, for me, my healing started. Through that work and looking inwards, I know myself today. You know, I know where I belong today. I don't run and hide today. My life is joyous. It's not perfect, but it is joyous. And every day I wake up knowing that you know, it is my oyster, and there's so many possibilities, and I'm really, really grateful. I'm grateful for the opportunities, and I'm grateful for this. And yeah, thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you so much, Claire. You know, it's been such a joy watching you get well, and that was a very powerful share. So thank you very much. Now, our final sharer for the meeting today, Paul. Paul, would you like to share?
Good morning, Tom. My name's Paul, and I'm an alcoholic, and I usually get that wrong when I go to the meetings, much to everybody's amusement. How do I follow? Thank you, Claire, Dougie. Marvellous sharing. Honesty. This was the word honesty that I had to learn. Let me go back a bit, because the signs were there when I was a lad. Everybody would have a party, I would drink to excess and be the one thrown out or put in a car or whatever, and then waking up in the morning with this blank, and saying things like, I couldn't, I wouldn't, and here I was, and I would just ignore those signs. Even my dad took me to show me how to drink properly and into a pub, and in Scotland it's quite a cultural thing to be into pub, have your local, have your so-called pals in the pub who you play darts with, etc. But it's all there to worship at the altar of Mrs. Alcohol, Mrs. Alcohol. I'll call him Marmaduke, from a friend of mine said, give the little devil who's trying to coax you into, give him a really silly name. And you can say, Marmaduke was out tonight trying to get me to go. And he reared his head just a couple of weeks ago on a Saturday when I thought I could go. And then I went, no, I can't. I can't take that one. So as I was saying about honesty, ignoring things, my first marriage ended, we'd doored it out for 29 years, but my first marriage ended after about 10 years when I went home, I can't remember a thing. I terrified my children and my wife, and to my internal shame, I hit my wife. And that changes things. Changes things, as she said later on, when you hit someone, the love goes away. And she did come back, and we'd tried again for the children, I presume. And then I moved to New Zealand, and the marriage did eventually break up. And since then, I still didn't face my honesty up and really realise what was happening until I'd estranged most of my family, especially my daughter-in-law's long-suffering, and my present missus. On one particular occasion where I woke up in the forest, covered in scratches from falling about in a forest in a dark night, and I have no recollection. And, as I say, I realised in my honesty a moment there that here I was, a lying, cheating, manipulative, dreadful person, to be honest, who was estranged and was in the point of totally going down the bottle's neck or whatever. But I had tried years ago. I'd gone to the AA and Pookie and didn't work. I had gone to the doctors, I'd been sent to CADS, etc., etc. But this realisation that I was at the cliff edge, and I said, I must go back to and try AA. And I went to AA, and the first evening I came home, my missus said, "You're a different man." Already one meeting under my belt, and I thought it was terrific. A couple of weeks later, there was this large bearded chap came, and he talked, and he actually said exactly what I felt. Here I am drying out and whatever, and I'm going to be sober, and I'm never going to laugh, and I'm never going to, et cetera, et cetera. See how the booze makes you think? Strangely, isn't it? So awkwardly. Anyway, I listened to that and worked on it, got some skills, and listened to other people, watched the progress, saw the progress as my family began to forgive me, step four, whatever, and I'm now back in a lovely position where I've re-established my relationships with my immediate family, and I can hopefully look to future with my wife to a nice rosy time where there's no drink, there's no fibs, there's no nothing. And it's a journey that, here's a man that was born in the middle of last century, can finally get to in his 70s, when you never give up the fact that you can still grow. And I must thank the rooms for the people who were not shocked, were not least bit bothered, just nodded their head in agreement and thanked and said how sharing was wonderful. And you slowly grow and realise that giving is better than receiving. And Marmadukes should get the boot. And God bless you all, and thank you.
Thank you, Paul, and a massive thank you to all three of our sharers this morning. So thank you, Dougie and Claire, as well. That is all we have time for. Thank you for joining us. We are on air every Sunday morning at 10:45 a.m., so tune on in to Planet FM 104.6. If you wish to speak to someone directly, please call 0800 229 6757. That's 0800 229 6757, or you can go to the AA website, which is aa.org.nz, where you can find a whole raft of information, including details on where there are AA meetings local to you, or the Waiuku Wednesday night, where our three sharers are from. Now, could we please close the meeting with the Serenity Prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.